अनंत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल्ड किंग पुरुरवा एंचेंटेड बाय उर्वशी टेक्स्ट 48। एक एव पुरा वेदा प्रणवा सर्ववान्मयः देवो नारायणो नान्यः एकाग्निर्वर्ण एव च। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: In the Satyuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic mantras were included in one mantra, Pranava, the root of all Vedic mantras. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, was the only worshipable deity. There was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only, and the only order of life in human society was known as Hamsa. Purport. In the Satyuga, there was only one Veda, not four. Later, before the beginning of Kaliyuga, this one Veda, the Atharva Veda, or some say the Yajur Veda, was divided into four, Sam, Yajur, Rig and Atharva, for the facility of human society. In Satyug, the only mantra was Omkar, Om Tat Sat. The same name, Omkara, is manifest in the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Unless one is a Brahmana, one cannot utter Omkara and get the desired result. But in Kaliyuga, almost everyone is Shudra, unfit for pronouncing the pranava Omkar. Therefore, the Shastras have recommended the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Omkar is the mantra or Mahamantra, and Hare Krishna is also a Mahamantra. The purpose of pronouncing Omkara is to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna Mantra is the same. Hare, O energy of the Lord, Krishna, O Lord Krishna. Hare, O energy of the Lord, Ram, O Supreme Lord, O Supreme Enjoyer, the only worshipable Lord is Hari, who is the goal of the Vedas, Vedaischa Sarver Aham Eva Vedyah. By worshipping the demigods, one worships the different parts of the Lord, just as one might water the branches and twigs of a tree. But worshipping Narayana, the all-inclusive Supreme Personality of Godhead, is like pouring water on the root of the tree, thus supplying water to the trunk, branches, twigs, leaves and so on. In Satyuga, people knew how to fulfill the necessities of life simply by worshipping Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same purpose can be served in this age of Kali by chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra as recommended in the Bhagavatam, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, one becomes free from the bondage of material existence and thus becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. Before I begin, I would like to see the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas. So here we are at the end of this chapter entitled King Pururava Enchanted by Urvashi. And as just half an hour back when I was going to prepare for the class, His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu was telling, don't speak about Pururava and Urvashi. Pagga sun sunke, speak something else. Do some Krishna Katha, something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, something from here and there. But don't speak about that. So following his order and instruction, I will try to speak something which is in relation to today's verse also. I don't know how much it is related, but in case if I speak something more beyond my relation, please forgive me for that. So in this purport, Prabhupada is emphasizing on the basic principle of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the substitute or which is the way to achieve the same perfection which people used to achieve in Satyuga, where the only mantra was the Pranava Omkara. Prabhupada mentions that because people in this age of Kali are practically all Shudras, therefore they are not eligible or qualified to chant this Pranava Omkara, and therefore for them it is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So basically our spiritual life begins, the first stage or the first process or the first thing we come in touch is of spiritual life is the sound vibration of Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna is the beginning, Hare Krishna is throughout, and Hare Krishna is till the end. So the basic purpose, there are many reasons if somebody asks that what is the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. So many are there, as Prabhupada even mentions. One may say it is a process for the age of Kali, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. Ultimately, through this mantra one can get purified and go back home, back to Godhead. But ultimately, through all this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra throughout our life, throughout our everything, whatever we do, or any other activity in spiritual life is ultimately focused or aimed towards one thing, samsiddhir haritoshanam, is ultimately for the pleasure of the Lord, is to please the Lord in our endeavors to trying to please the Lord. Our basic things or the first step or the first stage is chanting of the holy names. So devotional life begins with chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And as we progress on the path of devotional service, the effect of chanting, or one of the purpose, what we expect or what we know, that the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is to purify our heart, purify our soul, and purify our whole existence. We know it theoretically, but and actually our aim is also, we know that this, among all the 10 stages of devotional service, the fourth one, the Anartha Nivritti, is there, and without which one cannot proceed ahead. So Anartha Nivritti is one of the important function or important limb in the process of devotional service, which begins from chanting Hare Krishna. Or in one way we can say Hare Krishna, or the process of chanting Hare Krishna, has the, or is effective, or is the way to purify our heart. We all know it theoretically, but when the actual process of purification takes place, it is the most difficult phase in the life of every devotee, because that time the churning of the heart goes on. Everything comes before the eyes, everything is presented, just like a person shows a mirror to us, where we can see what we are, and where we have to go about. So that is the most difficult phase. But and every devotee, irrespective of who is, what is, if at all he is serious about the ultimate goal of life, then he has to pass through this phase of Anartha Nivritti, purification of the heart. There is no bypass to it. There is no other alternative to it. If one is serious, if one is desperate, one is eager, he has to. And how and what Krishna will select to do that Anartha Nivritti is not in the hands of the devotee. That is why it is most difficult to digest and accept it. Because even though theoretically we know that we have to undergo Anartha Nivritti in order to get purified, but many times as we progress on the path, we have certain ways which we may present before Krishna, that yes, my dear Lord, purification is your action, but if you can purify me in this way, then it will be good. But then Krishna knows, because he has the keys to all over the locks of all our Hriday Granthis which are there, he has the keys to all that, how to open that so that ultimately we can get purified. And many times those process or those acts or those decisions which Krishna may take may be very, very difficult to digest. Even to the degree, if we are not properly situated, we may even drift away from the process of devotional service. That is the Lord's way of functioning. That one cannot change. What one can change is how we can align ourselves or make ourselves adaptable or acceptable to the ways and functioning of the Lord. So this is the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. And therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll just see one pastime which very beautifully depicts the mood of a devotee or a sadhaka when he's passing through this phase. How and what the Lord can do to the extent that it may be unbearable, intolerable, unexpected, but still a devotee can overcome if he is properly situated in his consciousness. So here in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Antalila chapter 12, entitled The Lord's Dealings with Jagdanand Pandit, Kaviraj Goswami very beautifully explains about one great personality. This personality means should be actually the ideal personality to be worshipped by all the yatra managers, because every yatra manager has to face what this personality has faced, and that is none other than Shivananda Sen. So every year, so we in our base we have decided that all the yatra managers, before when you go for small yatras, we should, before beginning of the yatra, we should give them small photo, which is nice painting which is there, where Lord Nityananda Prabhu is kicking on the chest of Shivananda Sen. So when they are, you know, chested or something, they can just console themselves, or this painting can be a solace for them. And so what we are receiving is nothing, you know, not a big thing compared to what Shivananda Sen received. So as we know that every year after Mahaprabhu took sannyas, it was the regulative principle of all the devotees of Navadvip to go spend 4 months in Jagannath Puri. And I was just calculating, it must have taken approximately 1 month to go and 1 month to come, if you go by walk. So practically 6 months of their life, 6 months of their year, they used to spend just in yatra. That also not one person. And that also all of these devotees, if you find the list, if you just check the list, all of them are grihasthas. All the grihasthas with their family, with their wife, children, leaving their houses, leaving their occupations. Every year, that was not once in 5 years or 10 years that chalo chhe mahine nikle jaate hain. It's not like that. Every year. So they were working only for 6 months. And remaining 6 months, yatra. An opportunity, they never lost. Approximately for 10 years, this must have happened before Mahaprabhu went into seclusion in Gambira when he never met anyone. Before that, practically every year, the whole 4 months of Chaturmas, all the devotees were there. So Shivananda Sen was the only manager who used to arrange for the lodging, boarding, everything for the devotees without paying anything. Free yatra. That is the height of this. When you pay, then you demand. Like this time yatra, we are discussing yatra managers, that many people, the mood of yatra has become like this. Rather than being grateful, people feel that I have paid for this, therefore I should get this facility. So it was not like that. It was free yatra. So that nobody can question. Jo mil raha gapchup raho, just accept it. We should also do like that. So no complaints and no problems. Yatra will go peacefully. So Shivananda Sen used to make all arrangements, even to the extent not only of serving prasad, arranging their tents and pandals, paying the tolls. So Kaviraj Goswami explains that sabara sabha karya karena dena vasasthan Shivananda jane udiya pathera samadhan. So Shivananda Sen, he took care of all the devotees, each and every devotee. He gave them places to stay, and he also knew all the paths leading to Orissa, and therefore he was a leader. And one day, every day, because when they were traveling, they had to cross many borders, because from Bengal to go to Orissa, and that time because of the Mughal rule, and there were many kings who were stopping, there were also tolls to be paid. So one day, what happened was, ekadina sabaloka ghatiya rakhila sabachhadaiya Shivananda ekala rahila. So one day when they were walking across the border, Shivananda Sen got all the people, cross the border, go ahead, and he just waited behind to pay the tolls. So all the devotees, those who are there, they crossed the border and they were just waiting at one spot till the time Shivananda Sen clears off all the payment and comes back. And they went to a village nearby, and below a tree they were sitting just waiting for Shivananda Sen. And in that party, along with all the devotees, was none other than Nityananda Prabhu. So here, Nityananda Prabhu actually, Mahapur had told him long back, don't come to Jagannath Puri. You just be there in Bengal and just do the preaching work. No need to come to Jagannath Puri along with all the devotees. But still, Nityananda Prabhu, many times, goose party, he entered inside. So he entered inside the troop, and he was also made, because all the devotees were waiting, so he was also waiting below that tree in that village across the border. Nityananda Prabhu Boke Vyakula Hoya. Because it took some time and they were walking, Nityananda Prabhu started feeling hungry. And all of us know, when stomach is empty, mind becomes more active and more agitated. So Nityananda Prabhu also, his mind became vyakul, was disturbed, upset. Shivananda gali pade vasana paiya. So first of all, he was hungry, and top of that, there was no place to stay. Even if he had given some place to stay and no food, some adjustment would have made. So because there was no prasad arrangement and there was no place accommodation made, Nityananda Prabhu became very angry and he started giving gali. So this is usual, parampara is there to receive gali. So Shivananda gali pade vasana paiya. Because he did not get residence, he started giving gali. And what gali was giving to Shivananda Sen? Because nobody will go and chastise or give gali to ordinary people. They'll say, where is that yatra manager? Call him, I want his number immediately. So immediately they catch the neck. So here he was knowing that Shivananda Sen is the leader. So he immediately caught hold of him and he started giving gali. And what was the gali? It was not something, you know, related. It was a heavy, heavy gali. Tina putra maruka shivara ekhanana aila bhoke mari genu more vasana dila. Shivananda Sen has not arranged for my residence. He complained, Nityananda Prabhu complained. And I am so hungry, I could even die because of his hunger. He has not come, I curse that his three sons die. Now, Nityananda Prabhu is not an ordinary person like us, that he can feel hungry. He is the person in the expansion, he can feed the entire creation. So this is the way. Lord can do anything, he can behave anything, he can speak anything if he wants to purify us. So he is telling, I could even die because of his hunger. And you have not given me food to eat, and therefore I curse that all your three sons may die. And when Shivananda's wife heard this, that Nityananda Prabhu, she was knowing the exalted position of Nityananda Prabhu, if an ordinary person curses and say, yeah, it's a gali, it's a fark padne wala. But when Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is giving gali, you know. So she says, obviously this curse will really have effect. And therefore, Shivananda Sen's wife, she was very much aggrieved. Shuni Shivanandera patni kandite lagila. She started crying. Heno kale Shivananda ghati aite haila. And then, meanwhile, when the wife started crying because her three sons were cursed to die, Shivananda Sen, he came back and wife approached. Means he approached her asking what the reason, why she was crying. And then she explained that our three sons have been cursed to die by Nityananda Prabhu because he is very angry. And Shivananda Sen, when he heard this, he says, Teno kahe bauli, bauli, he said, you mad woman. Teno kahe bauli keno mari se kandiya, maruka amaratina putra tara balai hoya. He said, even if a three sons die, what is the problem? Why are you crying like a foolish woman? If they have been cursed by Nityananda Prabhu, what is the problem? Let them die. There is no reason for you to be depressed, morose, or cry. This is our great fortune. And then, after hearing this, after consoling his wife, immediately Shivananda Sen rushed towards Nityananda Prabhu to please him. Eta boli Prabhu pase gela Shivananda uthim. And when he approached, Nityananda Prabhu did not speak anything. What spoke? His leg spoke. So Nityananda Prabhu, uthi tare lathi maila Prabhu Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu just got up and kicked him right on his chest. I don't think that any of the yatra managers must have received this. At least they must have received some words, but not kicks from any personalities. So after saying this, Shivananda Sen went to Nityananda Prabhu where he stood up and kicked him. And after receiving the kick, this is one phase of anartha nivritti. So what is a devotee's response? That will determine that where he will be and what he will do and what will be his future. So when anartha nivritti takes this form and this shape, every reason, first of all, he could have said, he had every reason to retaliate. And that also to Nityananda Prabhu, who was told not to come to yatra, still he has entered the yatra. And, on top of that, kicking, he had all the reasons. If he had paid or registered himself or everything, then it was okay. We have taken the responsibility. First of all, I have not taken the responsibility. On top of that, you are giving gali and kicking me. What is this? So a person may be completely fried out and he may even say, hell with all these things. I give up. This response to any stimulus is the thing that changes a person's destiny. It changes a person's future. How do you respond to a particular stimulus or provoking situation? That is what will determine, as Maharaj says, that will make decide whether you are great or something else. So then, after being kicked, immediately, Shivananda Sen did not do anything. He did not even speak. He immediately arranged for a house for Nityananda Prabhu to stay in, a milkman's house, and says, my dear Lord, you can please stay here. He made the arrangement, and then he caught hold of the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, not thinking that now, eat ka java patra se, I'll catch your feet and throw you. No. Charane dhariya prabhura vasayalaya gela. He caught his feet and says, my dear Lord, please, this is a house for you. Please come there. Vasadiya rishta haiya kahite lagila. And then, after giving proper place, Shivananda Sen started speaking. And he says, aji mora bhritya kori angikara koila. Today, my dear Lord, you have accepted me as your servant. Aji more bhritya kori angikara koila ye mana apradya bhrityara yogya faladila. This servant, what offense he has committed, my dear Lord, by kicking me, you have given him appropriate punishment. Appropriate punishment which was befitting me, which was perfectly what I destined. Knowing well what I really need it, you have given me that. This is positive attitude. And then, not just out of superficiality, he's saying that many times, when an ordinary person may come and may complain, you just give him, hey, get out from here. But some senior Vaishnava, some person who has some position, he comes, then even though you know his mistake is there, but then say, okay, no problem, we'll adjust. Sweet words automatically come out. But that is superficial. So Shivananda Sen is not something superficially he is presenting before Nityananda Prabhu, seeing his exalted position. These prayers which are coming from Shivananda's mouth are not just lip service, they are emanating right from the core of his heart. So therefore, he says, Sasti chale kripa kara e tomar karuna tri jagate tomar charita bhuje keu jaina. So he says, you may either chastise me or whatever you may do, but ultimately I understand that that is your causeless mercy. Who within the three worlds can understand your real character? Nobody can understand. So when who in the three worlds can understand, that means even I cannot understand your actual character and how you bestow your mercy to your surrendered souls. And then he glorifies the touch of the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He says, Brahmara durlabha tomar Sri Charana Renu. That dust from your lotus feet, which is not even you know, which even not available to Lord Brahma, Durlabha. Brahmara Durlabha Tomhar Sri Charana Renu Heno Charana Sparsha Paila Mora Adhamatanu. That dust today have been, or that dust has come in touch, that lotus feet have, this body which is so fallen has today been touched by your lotus feet. Your dust from your lotus feet has touched this lowly body. That dust which is not even available to Lord Brahma, which is desired by Lord Brahmaji. You don't given to Brahma, but you have given me today. So what is my great fortune, my dear Lord? He's saying, because I've received that dust from your lotus feet in the form of that kick, therefore, aji mora safala hoila janma kula karma aja painu krishna bhakti artha kama dharma. Today my birth, my family and my activities have all become successful. Today I have achieved the fulfillment of religious principles, economic development, satisfaction of the senses and ultimately devotional service to Lord Krishna. This is a devotee's, the second aspect. The devotee's response to the stimulus of anartha nivritti. So then, when this is the mood and the attitude of the devotee, then that mood or that attitude chalks out the path for receiving the grace of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, this anartha nivritti stage is the most difficult stage. Even if you see in Bhagavatam also, when Bali Maharaj, in the 8th canto, when Bali Maharaj decided to give 3 steps of land to the Supreme Lord, Vaman Dev, what did Vaman Dev do? He simply cheated. In the garb of cheating, he didn't cheat actually. That is how Lord wanted to deal with his beloved devotee, Bali Maharaj. So he took 2 steps and then he said, Bali Maharaj, you had promised me to give 3 steps, but in 1 step I have covered the entire Bhurloka and all other planets and everything. And second step, I have completed the entire heavenly planets. So where should I place my 3rd feet? You have not kept your promise. And therefore, because you have not kept your promise which you have given to a Brahmana, a Brahmachari, I curse you that you go to hell. You have to spend your life in hellish planets. Again the same scenario. But what was Bali's response? Bali's response is, he says, O best of the personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly verify matters to make it truthful. I will not allow my promise to go in vain. I will rectify it and see to it that what I have promised you becomes correct. I will keep my words. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your feet or your foot, take your 3rd footstep on my head. This is Bali Maharaj's response. And Prabhupada writes a very beautiful point in that purport. It says, Bali Maharaj took pleasure in understanding how the Lord will cheat his devotee. Bali Maharaj took pleasure. So this word, taking pleasure, is very, very important for every devotee. Irrespective of what the Lord may do or the Lord may select to purify his devotee, any circumstances what the Lord may create, difficult to tolerate, unbearable, something which you have never thought, but in all those difficult situations or circumstances, if a devotee is happy, if a devotee seeks pleasure in those situations also, then that pleasure forms the basis or the ground for him to stick in the path of devotional service. Otherwise, he can easily be thrown away. Without that firm binding agent of seeking pleasure, a devotee cannot survive or sustain in the path of devotional service. So therefore, in any condition, one has to seek pleasure. I remember in 2003, when I had joined VTA for just 2 months. So I was just staying for 1 month. And in those 3 months, I was just out here and there. Approximately 15 days, I was in the VTA. So one day Gaurang Prabhu, early morning after the Mangal Vaharti, he brought two batata vadas and came to Viti. I was just lying down. So he came up and he gave me one batata vada in my hand and he said, eat. And then he asked me, what is the decision? What have you decided? To join or just leave VTA? So it was a very short time for me to, you know, tell him that Prabhuji, yes, I want to join or not to join. So then he made one, you know, nice statement. I can never forget that. He said, Brahmachari ashram or Grahastha ashram? Suffering is there in both the places. Don't think that one becomes Brahmachari to avoid the sufferings of Grahastha ashram. Or one becomes Grahastha thinking the suffering of Brahmachari ashram. Who will get up early in the morning, this and that. So suffering is there in both the places. So what makes one to decide where one will be? He made one, that powerful statement. He said, it just depends on the person in which way he wants to suffer. Whether he wants to suffer as a Brahmachari, he wants to suffer as a Grahastha. He just made this comment, handed the batata, said, Khale, and he left back. So that batata was external, internal, that what was this statement was there. Because that time he was in charge of tasting the prasad, you know, which Mataji are cooking, whether it was good or not. So, therefore, for a devotee, our choice is, we can come, but we don't have any choice to place before Krishna saying that this is the way I want to be purified. So, the Lord may go to any extent, but in any situations, if one can survive, and surviving there, not just grudging, creeping, but he has to seek pleasure in those situations. Be happy, thinking that yes, this is the best condition of situations for me. And for every devotee, what is the pleasure? Pleasure is there in chanting the holy names. Pleasure is there in reading books in the Shastras. Nobody can take this away from him. Otherwise, there may be every reason everywhere to be deprived, morose, and think I am not successful. I am this, I am that. All my devotional life of so many years has been in waste. I have not got any taste. I have not achieved anything. Ultimate achievement for every devotee is not any big projects or any big social creation of this or that. The ultimate achievement for every devotee is to develop taste in the holy name and to develop taste for the Shastras and for service. If one can derive pleasure in that, then whatever may be the external situations, a devotee will always be happy and will continue to serve and continue to be there. Otherwise, he will change. He will change the situations. But as Maharaj makes one very beautiful point, simply changing the conditions, one can get some happiness, but not shelter. Very powerful statement to meditate. One can be happy, thinking, oh, now I have changed my position, I am happy now. But where is the shelter? And the purpose of devotional life, purpose of spiritual life, is to seek shelter, not happiness. If you can somehow there get happiness at the lotus feet of the Lord, at the lotus feet of devotees, then that is the most comfortable situation. And that is a whole mood, that is a whole psychology behind all these devotees spending 6 months in yatra. Why? The only motive is that we are going 1 month traveling, 1 month coming back, 4 months, full Vaishnava Sangha, 24 hours, in the dham, that also with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keeping this in mind, they were ready to sacrifice everything and spend 6 months giving up all their occupational duties, their household activities and everything. Why? Because the focus was there. And when the focus is there, all the discomforts practically become negligible. They don't exist. And when the focus is lost, all the discomforts, they become so prominent, they're visible, and they gradually start distracting you. But when the focus is lost, everything is lost. When the focus is there, everything, all other things, all distractions, they are lost. So Bali Maharaj was focused. Shivananda Sen was focused. And therefore, this is in the history of our parampara or in other paramparas also, other sampradas also, we see, no person has ever become purified or gone back home back to Godhead or achieved pure devotional service without undergoing this stage of purification. People, you may be a devotee for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. Krishna may present with you, put you in such situations which you have never thought of. People may criticize you, people may pass comments on you, people may, you know, pass so many allegations. People may pull you down. You may be asked to change. People may beat you. This and that also, this may happen in the holy dhams, not in some other place. A place, if you may get a residence right in the heart of Vrindavan, you may be worshipping all the deities of our acharyas, you may be in the lotus feet of all these samadhis of all the acharyas, you may spend 25 years, 30 years serving there, but people may come with guns in hands, with sticks in hand, they may beat you up right there before the deities, in between the samadhis, they may break your legs, they may break your chest bone, they may injure you, asking you, get out from this place, kicking you out of Vrindavan, showing gun that if you don't leave this place, we will kill you. Imagine, such severe test, never expected. Never expected when you are worshipping those deities which were worshipped by our acharyas, right in their presence, and the deities are standing there watching how you are being beaten. Our acharyas there in the samadhis, they are seeing every reason. Vrindavan is a place for you to, you may think, oh, such nice place, I'll go and get purified and taste the ecstatic mellows. But before tasting that ecstatic mellows, you have to taste this also. Then you'll actually understand what that taste is. But still devotees are there. That lady, you know, I will not take any names, right gun like this. I was inside the room and outside, the gun was shown. If that person has now gone, if you don't leave this place, we will shoot you also. But what the determination of that Mataji is telling, Are marne ke liye tu aayi hai Vrindavan mein mai. Agar tere haath se marna hai to idhar hi mar jayegi, aur kya chahiye mujhe. Imagine such determination. And those who came with a gun, they just left. Marne to mar. Imagine how many of us will dare. Banduk dekh ke backpacker bole, backpacker jaate baba. Hamne chopati theek hai. What Vrindavan. Teen time nice prasad, Gaurav Prabhu is cooking, nice facilities, everything is there. Why to see these guns and get our legs and bones broken? But still, devotees are not giving up. They are staying. Why? Understanding. Understanding that this is the way. This is a part of devotional service. This is the phase which I have to undergo, without which I will not experience the ecstatic bliss of devotional service. So if that is the mood and that is a consciousness, then one can survive. You have to take pleasure, not in good conditions, but even in such distressful and painful situations, one has to be happy. And then actual mellows of devotional service will be relished. Otherwise, things will become superficial, very superficial. Even with Bali Maharaj also, Bali Maharaj, everything was taken away. What is telling the, when the Lord says, you are not up to your mark, you are not keeping your promise. Bali Maharaj says, my head is there, my dear Lord, place it on that. And then he says, although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one, punish, and sometimes the well-wisher, as a well-wisher they may punish, but they never punish their subordinates in the way, my dear Lord, you have punished me. They never do that. But what is my mood? I regard this punishment as most worshipable, because it is coming from you, my dear Lord, the most exalted one. Because it is coming from the most exalted personality like you, this act, I accept it, I receive it, I worship it. And then, what is the basis? How one can face such situations? When we see that yes, there are others also, those who have undergone this phase. So they are our guiding force, they are light poles. They have undergone that, they have crossed through that, so let me be with them, let me take their shelter, and I will also be, have that power to overcome these distressful situations. And therefore, citing example, Bali Maharaj tells the Lord that even, what to speak of me, my dear Lord, even my grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, who is very famous of being recognized as your devotee, he was also not spared of this. Although he was harassed in many ways by his father Hiranyakashipu, he still remained faithful, taking shelter at your lotus feet. Taking shelter at your lotus feet and remaining faithful. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that although harassed circumstantially in many ways, a pure devotee never gives up the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and goes out to take shelter of someone else. Not some other demigod or not some other authority. Whatever is coming, just let me receive that. Not change. Not thinking of changing. And then he says, although bereft of all his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked, these are all the things which a devotee may undergo. Although bereft of all the riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives, friends, although suffering from pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly, the Lord is telling to Bali Maharaj, that it was certainly that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his words. The Lord is telling that even though I had put him in such situations, I had even tried to change his mind, but he did not deviate from his vow. So that should be a devotee's conviction. His truthfulness, his determination, his faithfulness to the Lord, and his vow, sticking to his vow. These are the qualities which will, these, all of them, the determination, his truthfulness, his faithfulness, they act like a glue for a devotee to stick on the path of devotional service. And from that glue comes out happiness, pleasure. And when the devotee takes this mood, that yes, whatever is coming, this is coming from the Lord, let me just be determined, let me be fixed up, not to deviate or not to take shelter of someone else, then actual mercy starts flowing. And when Shivananda Sen, when he said that, my dear Lord, your lotus feet, which is not even received by Brahma today, I have got this, I am so fortunate. Nityan Prabhu immediately got up from his place. Shuni Nityananda Prabhur Anandita Man Uti Shivananda Kaila Premaya Lingan. Immediately got up and embraced Shivananda Sen. Anandita Shivananda Kore Samadhan Acharyadi Vaishnavera Dilavasasthan. So after receiving the loving embrace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Shivananda Sen went and arranged for all other accommodations for all other devotees. And when he reached, it is not only, see how when he pleased Nityananda Prabhu, he got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And after that, when he went to Jagannath Puri along with his family, there Mahaprabhu knew about this. There is a nice pastime between some other, that how is Srikant, the nephew of Shivananda Sen, he got angry, and then he was with that angry mood, he left the yatra. One more aspect. He was not rebuked. He was not insulted. But because his uncle was insulted, he left. He had the reason. So many times when such situations are coming in our life, we immediately tend to change the group. No, I do not stay here. So he went. But Mahaprabhu did not speak anything. Mahaprabhu just asked him, how is Nityananda Prabhu? How is Shivananda Sen? So this person understood. Yes, Mahaprabhu knows everything about that. And when they reached Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu welcomed Shivananda Sen and his family. By that time, their small child, Paramananda Puri, was born. Mahaprabhu placed his lotus toe, great toe, in the mouth of Shivananda Sen's son, Paramananda Puri. And then, every day, Mahaprabhu ordered that as long as Shivananda Sen is there in Jagannath Puri, he ordered Govinda, his servant, that the remnants of my Mahaprasad plate should go to Shivananda Sen. Every day, imagine. And not only to him, even to his wife and children. That is a mercy. So mercy will come if you are ready to endure. Endurance is there. If we are ready to endure and face all the troubles, situations, then everything will flow. And when Bali Maharaj was being, you know, cheated like this or insulted like this, even Lord Brahmaji came, he felt very bad. He said, "My dear Lord, please, leave it now. Don't insult him too much. Already he's been insulted so much. Now please have mercy on him." So Lord said, "Actually, you know, I just wanted to glorify him. That is why I did like that." And then the Lord makes one very powerful point. He says, "Because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place which is not attainable even to the demigods. He will become the king of heavenly planets during the period of Manu Savarni." That is a different thing. But later on, as we all know, that Bali Maharaj was given a place in Sutal Loka, and Lord says, "I will personally stay with you." And the Lord, he went there as a doorkeeper to stay with Bali Maharaj. What great can be achieved? What more a devotee can desire? To have the personal association of the Lord. But all those things one cannot achieve without passing through this phase of anartha nivritti, being purified. So therefore, what is required for every devotee is to be ready for what comes, what the Lord has selected. So if that proper mood is there and that attitude of trying to be happy in whatever conditions the Lord may put, then one devotee can survive. Otherwise, he has every reasons to leave the association. He has every reasons to go out. All the discomforts will become prominent and the focus will diminish. So that is how, and that comes, this focus, to make the focus more prominent is Vaishnava Sangha, and in that Sangha, trying to learn how to nicely chant the holy names and to take shelter of the Vedic literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Tai Gaur Premanand.